This morning we continue the series we've been in this season of the church year called Epiphany, Arise, Shine. And we look at the message of Jesus, but through the lens of Jonah. Repent and believe. So we're in Jonah in chapter 3, and the scene begins with a guy on a beach. Now, how many of us like the beach? Most of us probably like going to the beach. About an hour from here, you can be over in Santa Cruz or Half Moon Bay or any number of nice sandy spots with the sun and the nice weather and the sea breeze, and you can probably smell that ocean air. Isn't it wonderful? Right? And if you go and it's a nice warm day, maybe people are playing volleyball in the sand, and you know, you can catch some surfers most of the time wearing their wetsuits. And then if you're like me and you're from somewhere else and you think, hey, I'm in California now, I'm just going to walk into the water, and you get up to your knees and that's about the end of it. And 5 years later, you can still remember that feeling in your feet when they cramped up, right? But it's what a beautiful scene. And then you wait around to the end of the day and the sun goes down, and isn't it gorgeous to watch the sunset over the ocean? That's not at all what Jonah chapter 3 describes. Yes, there's a guy on the shore, but Jonah has just had an experience that was like none other, a recent encounter with a fish. Perhaps you're familiar with Jonah's backstory. See, Jonah was a prophet of God who had been called to go from Israel, where he was, up to Nineveh. And Nineveh was to the north and east. And so, you know, something like that was the path that Jonah was supposed to follow. Probably not that direct. There were probably trade routes that he would go on or whatever. But that's the direction that Jonah was called to go. And what did Jonah do? Jonah went the other way, the opposite direction. First, he went down to Joppa, which is right on the coast of the Mediterranean. And he boarded a ship headed for Tarshish, is what's described. Now, where's Tarshish? We're not quite sure. Some people propose it's somewhere in Spain, which would be like the exact opposite, like 180 degrees if it were a clock, away from Jerusalem and Israel to the west. So let me draw it your way. You know, across the Mediterranean to get to Spain, you know, exactly opposite across the entire sea. Others have proposed it's Tarsus, which is kind of to the north, so you get out into the sea and then go north. That's where the Apostle Paul was from, Tarsus. Either way, it wasn't across the land to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. Back in probably the 80s, might have been the 70s, there was that song, You Can Go Your Own Way. Now some of you are humming it in your head. You can go your own way.
You can go your own way.
Go your own way. You can go your own way. Jonah tried going his own way. We freely choose the wrong path. I'm glad we have freedom to choose. We have free will in our lives, but how often do we choose to go our own way and go the opposite of where we should go? We go on the wrong path. Jonah chose his own direction. Maybe because Nineveh was known as a wicked city. It wasn't a friendly place. It wasn't like, you know, going off to Oz and everyone sings and it's all green and wonderful and everybody's getting along and it's just a very nice experience. No, this is Nineveh. You know, it's kind of harsh. It's not very welcoming. It's scary. Probably that's some of Jonah's motivation. It was also Assyria, which was not so friendly with Israel. So why would the prophet of God go to the enemy and help him out and bring the word of God to people who were at odds with Israel? We don't know all of Jonah's motivation. We can kind of read between the lines about some of the things, but what we do know is this, that Jonah didn't want to go. And Nineveh was also going their own way. Going off and doing whatever it was they were doing and having this reputation as a scary place. Sometimes we go the wrong direction too. Now, sometimes I think we probably don't know. Are we going the wrong direction or not? Are we uninformed about what's right? Do we just not know and understand? Maybe that was Nineveh. Maybe they didn't know how far off course they had strayed. Sometimes we choose to go the wrong way. We turn toward what we know is wrong and pursue what looks enjoyable, what looks fun at the moment, what makes us feel good, what meets our kind of felt needs, even though we know somewhere inside, we know it's not right. And then sometimes we turn away from the right direction. This is where Jonah was. Called to go one way and going the other way. So there we are on the beach, where God called Jonah a second time. There's the grace of God, that God called Jonah a second time. He didn't leave Jonah alone to go off to Tarshish or to just be consumed. God called to Jonah a second time. God had his mercy on Jonah and his grace on Jonah throughout. Is God calling you again? Calling you to a different direction, reminding you of what his truth is. That call comes through various places. The Word of God is written on our hearts. Our consciences speak to us about what's right. The Word of God, we can read it, we can hear it, we can study it, we can understand it. God calls to us in his living and active Word, and God calls to us through other people in our relationships. Sometimes we get that reminder. People can remind us of what we are doing, what we should be doing. Is God calling you to be his mouthpiece? Is he using you to speak the truth to someone? If you see a brother or sister in error, do you just let them go? If you were hiking up to Mission Peak up here, and you're going along, and maybe you're familiar with the path, and there's a fork in the path, and there's somebody up ahead of you, you know, maybe 50 yards or so, and they where the fork happens, they go through the gate that goes into the cow pasture. Would you just let them go? Now, maybe those people passed you on the path and were kind of rude about it and told you to get out of the way. Oh, now maybe we'd let them go. Or would you say, hey, where you're going is this direction. You don't want to go there. That's where the cows are. And, well, unless you want stuff on your shoes, go this way. Or what if a person was driving toward, like, well, even going the wrong way? Take a look at this clip from an old movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Hey! Hey! What's going on?
Some Joker wants to race.
This is ridiculous.
All right, come on.
Well, it was going to play. Oh, it's trying. Never mind. So John Candy's behind the wheel driving the car, and the guy on the other side says, "You're going the wrong way," and put the window down. And then Steve Martin's character says, "Oh, he says we're going the wrong way." My favorite part in the whole clip is, how does he know we're going the wrong way? He doesn't know where we're going. We don't know where people are going, but sometimes we know they're going the wrong way. In that clip, they're driving the wrong way on the freeway, and one of the last things we were going to see on there was two semi-trucks coming straight at them and headlights. And the clip goes on, and the car goes in between the two trucks, and there's sparks flying, and it's a pretty scary moment. You're going the wrong way. Sometimes it's a message that we need to tell people. Sometimes it's a message we need to hear. God calls to us again and again, giving mercy because he's patient. He's slow to anger and abounding in love, and he calls us to repent and follow. He calls us to repent and follow. Just as he did with Jonah, he called him to repentance. Sometimes we need to recognize the wake-up call. We need to realize that things aren't going right. When you get shaken and startled from our routines from time to time, just as a reminder that maybe we're comfortable going the wrong direction. Jonah's wake-up call was a storm. So Jonah went down, he got on the ship, he was headed to Tarshish, and a storm came. And where does it say Jonah was? Down in the bottom of the ship, asleep. He was comfortable going the wrong direction. Comfortable enough to be asleep at the wheel, so to speak. Asleep in the bottom of the ship. The crew was so anxious, they started chucking stuff overboard. Let's get rid of all the stuff we're supposed to be hauling. Let's get rid of even the things that we need to, you know, guide this ship. And Jonah wakes up, not just physically, and realizes this whole thing is my fault. Toss me overboard. It'll be okay for you. So they do. Jonah walks the plank, kind of, goes into the sea. And what happens, maybe you know the story, swallowed by the great fish, the whale. What it was, we're not exactly sure, but it was a big enough creature in the sea to swallow Jonah, and he could survive inside. I think it's a miracle of God, actually. You know? There's more than one miracle happening in this story, and one of them is he can survive getting swallowed by the fish and for 3 days live inside this creature. Then what happens? He gets projected onto the shore. The text actually says, like, vomited onto the shore. This is what happens with Jonah. He's in there with fish stuff. Yeah. Pleasant. That's a wake-up call. Then Jonah goes. And the people of Nineveh then heard Jonah's message. He makes it to Nineveh, and what does he say? Verse 4b, Jonah called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In Hebrew, that's four words. A four-word sermon. Don't get your hopes up. 4 words in Hebrew, and Nineveh immediately responded. It says the people believed God. They put on sackcloth. They repented. These are signs, outward signs of repentance. Even the king sat in ashes. The short message of Jesus. The time has come. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. Calling to repentance. That's the short message. Well, repentance is a change in direction. It's a recognition first that the wrong direction had been pursued. That one way or another, whatever the reason, whatever the cause, whatever the circumstances, I was on the wrong path. I got to go a different way. Maybe it's two semis coming the opposite direction that let us know that we're going the wrong way. Then there's a remorse or a regret, a sorrow over sin, a confession and acknowledgement of it, and then a redirection, a reorientation of life. To turn away from the things that take us away and turn toward the direction we're called to go. It's a response to grace and a renewal of the mind and a reprioritization of life. After the fish, Jonah went to Nineveh. It was a change in direction. After Jonah's message, Nineveh changed. In verse 8, it wasn't read, but this is in chapter 3 as well. The king said, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Turn from those things and do what? Repent and believe. And the king says, maybe God will have mercy. Maybe he will relent from this calamity that is going to happen. Are you going the right way? Are you going the right way? Are you walking the path? Are you living the life of a believer? Because disciples follow Jesus as a lifestyle. It's a spiritual thing, yes, but it is so much more. He calls us to obedience. Last week I talked about taking Gina to Elk Grove, which is up by Sacramento, for a rugby tournament. So yesterday was another rugby tournament. This time we were in Clovis. So we drove to Clovis and back. I am not familiar with Clovis. It's near Fresno, in case you're not familiar with Clovis. So in order to get to this place where the tournament was, what did I do? Pulled out my everything device. That's what I call it because it is not a phone. It does everything. And tapped in the address, fired it up, GPS program in there, took me to the place we needed to go. Got all the way to the field. Just fine. It was great. Got to the field. There's no concessions there. There's no food available. We're going to need some lunch. So what do? Pull out my everything device. Type in the destination. I want some food. Show me what's around. Pick something. Yes, I want to go there. Takes me to it. Get to the end of the day. Well, I got to go home. And I got here, so I could probably go backward and retrace the steps. There's not that many roads, and some of them are straight. You've been on 152. Straight, right? So I could probably do this, but you know what's easy? Right? When you're in unfamiliar territory, there's a good chance in these days you use some kind of device, whether it's a GPS or an everything device, or something else. Maybe you like paper maps. Hey, that's fine. But you use some kind of tool to help you find the way and follow the way and stay on the path and know you're going the right direction. When you're in unfamiliar territory, that's what we do. How many use GPS to go from your house to your kids' school? Anybody? Not a one. How many, okay, sometimes you might from home to work because you're wondering, okay, where are the crazy people? Because I want to avoid them, right? Where's the traffic? I want to go a different way. If you have like five different routes and they're all about the same, you want to avoid the one that's bright red on your GPS device. That's different from following it for directions. You're just checking in on the traffic at that point. When we're in familiar territory, we don't use something to help us. We don't need a tool. Here's the point. Make following Jesus familiar territory. When we're used to it, when we're doing it regularly, when we're doing it all the time, it becomes second nature. It's second nature to go from where you live to where you work. And if there's only one way to go, and it doesn't matter what traffic is, you're just stuck in it anyway, you just do it. I used to go around from my house. I lived in Ohio, and I worked in Kentucky, and I drove through Indiana to get there. You can look on a map. It's not that crazy. The loop that goes around Cincinnati is a three-state loop. It's 275 is the freeway number. So I would get on 275, and I would drive. I'll do it your way. So it's through Indiana, which is to the west, and then I would go south, and I would get into Kentucky, and then I would get to where I worked. And it was 30, 35 minutes. It didn't matter. The traffic wasn't bad. So I would do that, and I would have the radio on, and I would be listening to things, and I would just be driving along and be thinking of things. I'd never really had to think, after a couple of weeks working at that place, how do I get there? Which way do I go? Let me pull out a map. Let's make following Jesus so familiar that it's just second nature, that we know where the path is. We know where to go. It looks like this. Following Jesus means self-denial. denying ourselves of the things that we want and desire and pursuing the things that God calls us toward through daily repentance and the pursuit of perfection. We'll never attain it. Nobody in the room has attained perfection. None. None of us. It's a struggle for all of us every day. But through daily repentance and the pursuit of Jesus' path, we follow him. By outdoing one another in love, the Apostle Paul writes, with a wholehearted, sold-out, complete surrender. In the gospel message for today, Jesus was walking along the sea, and after the message of repent and believe, he comes across these fishermen, and what does he say? Follow me. What do? They hop out of the boat and follow. They leave their nets by the shore and follow. They leave Zebedee the dad sitting in the boat, and they follow. That is a wholehearted, complete, 100% pursuit of Jesus. They didn't try to keep one foot in the boat and follow Jesus with the other. All that's going to do is create an injury, create a difficulty. Go in with both feet. Jump in with both feet to following Jesus every day with generosity that's beyond compare, with lives of faith through which we believe and receive. We believe and receive because faith drives us to repentance. This whole thing is driven by faith anyway. Jonah had the fish experience and repented. Nineveh had Jonah's message and repented. But what do they both have in common? They believed God. The text is explicit in Jonah 3. The Ninevites believed God. That comes first before their repentance. Jonah, as the prophet of God, you know, God used the fish and the storm and the whole thing to bring him to repentance, but Jonah believed God. We, as brothers and sisters united in this faith, believe God as well. And our faith in God leads us to repentance, and his kindness meets us there. And the blessings that flow through faith cannot be counted. We have overflowing blessing. Overflowing. Very first is forgiveness of our sin. Complete forgiveness. A washing by his grace. A pardon and a peace that comes nowhere else. It can be found nowhere else. And all these things that we pursue that we think might make us feel good, that we think might make us happy, that we think might make us, you know, feel comfortable or finally, you know, accept ourselves or whatever it is that motivates us toward all these things, they pale in comparison to the peace that comes from knowing that we're forgiven people of Jesus. It's not even close. When we have that peace, How blessed are we that the God of the universe has forgiven our sin? That is an unbelievable blessing. Nineveh experienced the blessing of forgiveness. There's an ironic piece that we miss in the English language that happens in Jonah's four-word message. 40 days, and Nineveh would be overthrown. It can mean destroyed. But the same word can also mean changed, transformed. So God's word that came through Jonah wasn't wrong. It was still right. 40 days and Nineveh would be changed, transformed into something different. God had mercy and forgave and relented. We receive peace through knowing God through the cross. Through the cross of Jesus, through which we receive the blessing that he gives, that grace that covers our sin, as he comes to us today through his supper to feed us on his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sin, we get all of this. The world might not count these things as blessings, but you and I know that we can count in a completely different way. We can rise above our daily struggles by his power. We can see blessings even in times of challenge, and we can have confidence in him. The first words in Jesus' short message that he had, the time has come. Maybe today the time has come. Maybe the time has come for repentance, and it's time to change. Maybe the time has come to receive the blessing of the grace of God, because for whatever reason, it just hasn't got there yet. The time has come. Repent. Believe that the God who spoke through Jonah, the God who called those first disciples, is the same God who speaks to you, offering you his grace, his gospel, his good news, that your sins are forgiven. Repent. Turn from whatever is in the way and toward his direction. Believe that he is the Lord, and follow in trust wherever it takes. Amen.